So I'm gonna please pray for me, because the Lord knows this word that I'm gonna give when we go in is the enemy does not want this word to come out. I know that. He doesn't want any word to come out, so keep it in prayer. So this morning we have new faces that weren't here yesterday. Thank you for coming. And I'll just tell you about a little bit for 2 minutes. Sorry about the people who were here yesterday, but I'm from Connecticut and New England, and it's cold there right now. I guess it's beautiful, but cold, my husband said. And we run the New England Prayer Center. We're actually not a church. We're a hope and healing center based on prayer, and we serve the community of churches. But more than that, we've been able to serve the outside community. And we're like a hidden, God's kept us, even though people know who we are, we're sort of keep it hidden because a prayer, personal prayer for people that want breakthrough, sometimes they won't come into a church. But God's allowed us to just be a place where people from outside of the church can come in, and it's been awesome. And we've had, and it's all the supernatural, you know, nothing to do with us, but we once asked God, if you're going to let us do this, you know, bring the eagles. And God has brought people from all over the world to our place. We can't understand. People you see on television, people who, Heidi Baker came. I mean, just people that was supernatural came to our place, and we just put up tents. That's what we believe. God says, you know, just put up a tent. And so we do that a lot. We do prayer tents a lot all over New England. And we do a, coming up this this summer, well, there's a music festival, a large one in New Hampshire, and it's called Soul Fest. And this is our 23rd year in this festival where we have a prayer tent. We have a team of like 12 people, and that run the tent. And we see literally over 2,000 people come through the tent in 3 days, and it's major, intense, and it's beautiful. And so my experience in that is a woman or a man sat down before me, a young person, and this is the truth. Half of her, this half was short hair, mustache, you know, this half was makeup, long hair, lipstick on this side. And I looked at this person before me and I said, so what do you consider yourself? And the answer was this, just a shrug and a blank face. And God came. And that's what we are. We're the available mud for God. God took the available mud and he put it on somebody's eyes. And if we're ready to be used by God, that's the next. And you love the one you're with, so you love the person right in front of you, right? Right? Now, I just want to tell you something. I'm going to pray in just a second, but as far as I know what the Bible says, this is the only day we have, right now. Is that true? This is the day the Lord has made. I want you to rejoice and be glad in it. And so I found myself, Father, we just pray this morning that you will do what you want to do right here in this room. And thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. I found myself walking down a trail, doing my prayer walk, getting in my, you know, I'm going to multitask it all, and I'm going to say my scriptures, I'm going to be praying. And I said that scripture, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in. And I heard the Lord, heard the Holy Spirit say, really? Like that. And that kind of threw me a little bit. I kept walking, and I said, yes, this is the day I'm going to be How you can do that, Gina? I said, well, I'm going to praise, I'm going to be thankful, I'm going to sing, I'm going to... He said, really? And so I knew it was time to sit down in those woods and hear from God. Because I knew that really, the way it sounded in my spirit, was not exactly affirmative. And I sat on a big rock in the woods, and I just put my antennas up. And your antennas and my antennas are our sight, our smell, our taste, our touch, our hearing, and our prophetic antenna. That's our antennas, right? All our senses.
And all of a sudden, in those woods, I could hear a bird that was singing that I had no notice of while I was doing my prayer walk. And the bird was beautiful, the sound of the bird. And I could see through the trees that there was all these streams of light, you know, when coming through the trees, gorgeous. It looked like just a beautiful rain of light. I could smell the forest. I felt the relief. Everything was okay. I'm alive. I woke up, God. And all of a sudden, as I'm sitting, I said, I'm at your table now, Lord. I know I'm at your table, right? And it brought me to my table. It brought me to the place where I was at my kitchen table when I was young. And I grew up nuclear reactor Italians. Okay, if you don't know what that is, oh, yeah. You haven't been to an Italian dinner table. Nuclear. And so...
You got it, right?
Brought me to my dinner table, and I in my adult, now that I'm married and adult, I love to cook, I love to entertain, I love to set the table, I love all that. I love when somebody comes up to my steps and says, oh, it smells good. And so I'm at this table in my mind and I'm thinking about it, and I remember chaos in my family, you know, a lot of chaos, but the thing that at our dinner table every night, you know, Italians drink wine, and so my father would hold his wine glass up. We had a lot of company all the time, a lot of people, and everybody would toast, and I'd have my little tiny milk glass, and I couldn't wait to hear that chink of the glass, that clink. And my father would say, he'd say something in Italian, and so it was that moment of agreement, right? And it was the moment of place where everybody was in unison. As soon as that ended, chaos erupted again. But it was that moment. Every night with my little milk glass, I couldn't wait for that. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Gina, when you're at my table and you agree with my word and you agree with me in the presence of your enemies, that's when you can rejoice and celebrate. Then and only then is when you can rejoice and celebrate this day, right? And so this morning, I want to talk to you. I'm a life coach, as I said, and I run the prayer center. And I want to talk to you about something that is set apart in our lives. Now, everybody here, we all know the Lord, I think, and we all believe the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. So if someone said to you, can you describe in a word for me? Can you tell me in a word who is the Holy Spirit? You would have to, and I would have to think of a word that is really set apart. So you might have to really stretch and say, okay, well, and you might say, he's magnificent. Because the word magnificent, you don't just say it about anything, right? And he is magnificent. It's splendid. It's beautiful. The word means beautiful. It means extraordinary, superb, grand, great. And he is magnificent. So if that's true, that means that you are
magnificent.
And you are magnificent. And you and you and you and me, we're all magnificent. All of creation is waiting for the sons and daughters of God. The rocks, the trees, the world is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to do what? To show forth his glory, his magnificence. So the next, this morning, is for us to transition from our holding back or holding in or grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Bible says we can do, to allowing his magnificence to be revealed through us. Right?
Yes.
So I have a couple questions for you this morning that I'm not going to make you write down. I just want you to, I'm going to go through them quickly. I just want you to think about them. What, how, now, not the religious answer, because there is a religious answer to everything. And we don't want that. We want the honest answer, because the Bible says an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Did you know that it says that? And I want to just go through this real quickly. If you remember who Gary Smalley was back in the day, he was a coach before his time, but he talked about four different personality types: a lion, a beaver, a golden retriever, and an otter. Lion, strong, courageous, bold. Beaver, doer, 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 get it done, type A. A golden retriever just wants to be told, well done, loyal, well done, good and faithful dog, good faithful servant. Very loyal. And an otter, fun-loving, life of the party, wild and crazy. Okay? So out of those four, I know who you are. out of those four, who are you? Okay? Just think about that. What is your strong side, right? Are you more of a talker than a listener, or are you more of a listener than a talker? On your communication skills, if 10 is the best and 1 is the worst, how do you feel you communicate to others? Okay. Do you enjoy debating? Are you self-judgmental? Are you self-judgmental? Do you judge yourself easily? Do you judge others easily? Do you say, I love you, out loud every day to somebody? Do you do that? Do you have buttons to push? In other words, can someone say something to trigger you to reaction? Do you interrupt to get your point across? Guilty. Are you a responder or are you a reactor? A responder says, oh, there's a fire in the kitchen, let me go get the fire extinguisher. A reactor says, oh my God, there's a fire in the kitchen. Are you a responder or a reactor? Do you make excuses? Do you make excuses for things that you say you're gonna do and you don't do? Do you make excuses to others of why you couldn't be there and you said you were gonna be there? Do you make excuses and like, do you hear God's voice every day? Can you honestly say you hear God's voice every day, Holy Spirit's voice? And do you know, last question, what malice is? Now I'm gonna ask, does anybody know what malice is in this room? What an answer, just say that, we'll do it anyway, okay. So all of those questions are important because we don't normally ask ourselves those kinds of questions. And that's what coaching does. And by the way, you know, when she talked about process last night, I don't know if you remember that, but she talked about God can do things in a second, but we do live in this Burger King mentality, give it to me now, give it to me my way. And I believe that God wants to take us through a process. So when I wrote the course based on his word, Alive on the Inside, it's a 6-week course. It's an hour a week. I actually coach people from all over the world because of FaceTime. So it's like being in the same room. What a great thing. And it's 6 weeks, an intensive hour to make us look inside ourselves. Because those aren't questions that you would normally think about or in your regular life, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we know that God calls us by name, and he knew our name before we were born. That's what scripture says. Later, I have this name book, and she spent a long, long, this lady, Christian lady, to look up the Hebrew meanings to understand names, because when the Hebrew people named their children, they didn't name their children because of Aunt Susie was Aunt Susie, and so I wanted it. They named their children because of the meaning of the name. And so your Rochelle real name, you said yesterday, what?
Lois.
I looked that up last night. Hold on. Glasses, thank you.
I looked that up. I'm going to use Rochelle as the example this morning. Lois is spelled L-O-I-S, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, Okay.
Lois is a Greek origin, and the inherent meaning is desired. And the spiritual connotation is established in truth. The scripture that goes with your name is 2 Samuel 22:29, where you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. Beautiful, right?
Yeah.
So God is calling her, you are my desired. Even though her name, you know, goes by Rochelle, that's her real inherent name was Lois. You are my desired one. So every time somebody says Lois, God is saying my desired one. My desire. And he calls us by name, and he says, I've summoned you, and I call you by name in your mind. So I want you to start when people you introduce yourself. You're not going to say, hi, I'm magnificent. But I want you to start to think about that and say, okay, the magnificent one, as you tell people who you are. Because we tell people about our we identify ourselves, believe it or not, through every choice we make. You choose to color your hair blonde. You choose to eat certain food. You choose to drive a certain car. All those things identify you and I, right? But we want to be identified by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so moving on. All of creation is eagerly waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Manifestation in our church cultures might mean this to some people, falling down and getting slain in the spirit, or shaking, or manifestation can mean all these things that really isn't manifestation. Manifestation comes from a Greek word, phanero, which means to make actual or visible, right? And it means to realize, to reveal, to manifest something means to bring it into reality, to embody it. And you and I, honestly, were born for a purpose on this earth. We were born to succeed, flourish. We were born to overcome. And the problem is, I like to study nature. And, you know, there's certain things on the earth that God showed us that flourish, such as something called kelp. And kelp grows in some ocean somewhere in the world, I don't know where. But it can grow up to a foot an hour. Why? Because it has the right minerals, it has the right sunlight, has the right temperatures. Everything in the environment causes that thing to flourish. And so sometimes we've got to look at what's going on, take an inventory of our environment, and what's stopping us from flourishing. Because you and I didn't wake up this morning and stretch and get out of bed and say, okay, God, prune me. Because we think pruning is going to hurt. We think the pruning process, oh, it sounds like something's going to get cut off. Well, we trim our hair because it's got dead ends, right?
Yeah.
And God wants to, as far as the Bible says, he wants to cut off everything that isn't producing inside of us. Because when you plant a plant, you take off all the dead leaves, you water it, and he's pouring out his spirit on all flesh, and it's raining today as a sign that he wants us to flourish, because that's what we were born for, right? Ephesians 3:20, does anybody know that passage? Okay, don't look it up. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever hope or imagine. That's not how that scripture goes. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can hope or imagine, according to the power that works within us. We leave that out. I actually went into a prayer room at a church and they stopped before. They wrote it on the wall in the prayer room. I'm like, that's not how that scripture goes. According to the power that works within us. So we, this morning, in this very short time, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about Him because God says, I'm leaving you with a comforter, a counselor, an advocate, a lawyer, a friend, an intercessor, and on and on. And if He's leaving us the Holy Spirit, who is all of those things and much more, then our relationship with the Holy Spirit is the most important relationship that we have in our lives. And we have to, listen, these two are friends, and they cultivate their relationship because they laugh together, share together, tell secrets, they go to dinner, they go shopping, they do all these things together, and they become friends because they love each other. And we have to cultivate our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes we put God in the trunk on a Sunday, and we get Him out, like I said. And we need to understand every moment, every second of every day, we have a person who is going to help us in our weakness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Antennas up. So, I'm going to skip down. We know the Holy Spirit is holy. And God said, be holy as I am holy. Right? We can't make ourselves holy, but the Holy Spirit makes us holy. Right? And He's into a purification process. And you're going to hear me say this out there in this little bit, is that one day I'm in Scripture and I read this Scripture, Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words like silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. And I'm like, wait a minute. The word's already pure. What is the seven furnace? What does that even mean? And I really dug and dug and dug. And trust me, I could spend 2 hours on this. But the seven purifiers, and you're going to hear me say this again this morning, the seven purifiers of the Holy Spirit are this. The blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ is our understanding that God sent His Son who died for us, and we know that. But you know, we're saved. But you want to know something? We don't apply His blood.
Amen.
We don't apply His blood. A woman that I know, her name is Betty Barber Smith. I don't know if she's still alive on the earth today, but many years ago, she had stage 4 cancer. She wanted to love the Lord her whole life, many years ago, so no real good treatments, I guess, medically. They told her, you're going to die, go home, get your life in order. She went home. She's on her couch. She's sick. She knows she's going to be with Jesus, and she prays this prayer. God, let me please have the energy and the strength to bake a cake for my daughter for her birthday. And she went in her kitchen, she got in there, and she tried to make this cake that was traditional for their birthday. And she started to get dizzy, and she got on the floor trying to stir the cake. She couldn't do it, ready to throw up, goes back to the couch crying, who wouldn't? Saying, God, you know, I know I'm coming to be with you. All I wanted to do was bake this cake and pity party, which we'd all have.
Yeah.
And so she said, what do you want? What do you want? And she heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to take a swim. Okay, now I'm hallucinating. And so now I want you to take a swim. She closed her eyes. And all of a sudden, in her mind's eye, she saw the ocean. And the ocean was not blue, was not green, was not aquamarine. It was blood red. She saw the whole ocean as Jesus' blood in her mind. And it wasn't New Age thinking. She said, God, I can do that. And she went in her thoughts, and she said she saw herself swimming and like a dolphin through Jesus' blood, submerged in Jesus' blood. And she did that every day. She couldn't wait to open her eyes if God gave her another day and think about, I'm going to submerge myself in the blood of Jesus. She was 100% healed from stage 4 ovarian cancer. And I'm telling you, we know about God's blood through salvation, but the Zoe life, the here and now, we have to apply His blood to our sicknesses and our circumstances,
yes.
And Psalm 103 tells us, right?
Yes.
So The blood of Jesus is a purifier. The water of the Holy Spirit, God's pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. What's the result? Dreams, visions, and prophecy. Dreams, visions, and prophecy. And I know right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants to... Some of you say, I don't dream. I heard that. Lord, I pray right now, put your hand on your head, please, that you would renew dream life, God, because you spoke to people through dreams. Father, in our minds, God, at night when we're resting, God, give us your dreams, God. Dreams from you, in Jesus' name. Amen. God is the God of all hope, so a hopeless dream is not from him. It's bad pizza. God is not the author of confusion, so a confusing dream is not from him. And God is the God of rest, so he doesn't want nightmare dreams. I have to tell you something. We have to know how God spoke through dreams, and there's so many people he spoke through. Dreams, prophetic, and visions. Result of him pouring out his Spirit. The water of the Holy Spirit. The fire of our circumstances. Fire either purifies or it destroys. Right? They start fires on land, in wherever farmland, to purify the land. Yeah. And you're going through what you're going through as a purification process. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going through what I'm going through as a... Be holy as I am holy. The water of the Holy Spirit, the fire of our circumstances. Blood of Jesus, hope is a purifier. Without hope, can't cope, right? You've heard that before. That's a cliche, but I'm telling you, God, the God speaks in Thessalonians of a helmet of hope, which is a hope mindset. Something good is going to happen today. Mm-hmm. Something good is going to happen today. Truth is a purifier. Now listen, we talked about this yesterday. It's time for some of us to tighten the belt of truth. Make it a little tighter.
Yes.
Because you're not a spiritual streaker. When you tighten that belt of truth, those pants that God gave you to hold up, you're not walking around naked. Like, oh my God, I'm so vulnerable to any... No, I want you to know that the belt of truth, notch it, which means... We've got to stay in the truth of the word, right? Okay, blood, water, fire, fasting. Fasting is not optional. We've made it optional in the body of Christ. It was in the Old Testament. It was part of culture, part of lifestyle, part of... And so, again, Esther knew the importance, the integrity of fasting and prayer. And so that's critical. And... The last purifier, of course, is the anointing. The presence of God, of course. Right? And so God's taking us through a purification process. And he wants us to hear his voice. And the trouble is, we can either grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Okay, that's what it says. Do not grieve him. So what does it mean to grieve? When we grieve, think about when you've grieved. Mm-hmm. What do? You want to pull the covers, you want to go in. You want to just shut everything out. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And he gives us an understanding through that scripture of what grieves him. If I can find that. Ephesians 4:30. Says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of, and here's the list. You ready? Get rid of rage. Get rid of anger. Get rid of brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. What's malice? That's important. Malice. What, does anybody want to take a clue on what malice is? Sorry?
Destruction. You know, like chaos.
Chaos? Destruction?
Like
anybody?
Wrong.
Something with the wrong intent?
Evil intent.
Evil intent. Okay. Do you know we can have malice in us without doing or saying one word? Because the bottom line in malice is to even think to do destruction or harm. I hope she gets what she deserves. Break her neck. Whatever we're saying. You know, like, yeah. Malice comes because we've heard malice so many times in our televisions and other things.
Yeah.
So we have to get rid of it, right? And if we grieve the Holy Spirit, that means His magnificence cannot be released through us. Now, I'm telling you this. I saw Bill Johnson once do this. He said, pretend, he took a napkin, he said, pretend this is the Holy Spirit. And he said, if we knew the Holy Spirit like a dove, right? Came down like a dove. If we knew that this is the Holy Spirit, we would have to do everything very carefully. Because if we moved fast, and we did things fast and in a hurry, and not, we would be much more careful, right? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is obviously depicted as a dove, and the dove in the natural has 9 main feathers on the left and right wings, and there are 9 gifts of the Spirit: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of miracles, healings, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, discerning of spirits, and I missed one, healings, if I didn't say that. So there's 9 feathers on each wing, and there's 9 fruit of the Spirit, and the dove has 5 main tail feathers, which represents the fivefold ministry of God, right? The apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, and the pastor. Amazing. So we know that we can grieve Him, and we know that we can quench Him. What does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit? What?
Thirst.
Anybody else? I want you to think of a power hose. A power hose, when they use a power hose on a house, I imagine, I haven't used one really, but they can hit the house and all the dead paint comes off, and they can clean the house where, well, there's pressure. There's a kink in the hose, okay? The hose, there's a kink. So what does that do? That means the water cannot come out of the hose. When we quench the Holy Spirit, it's through our integrity, our character issues, our speech, our truth, our whether we lie or tell the truth, our deception in us is how we quench the Holy Spirit. So if we can get rid of those things that grieve Him, and we can look deeply into our own lives instead of looking at other people, say, God, listen, I needed to repent this morning over something. I got with the Lord, and I said, God, really, I am so sorry. I see it now. I see it, what You're trying to. And we repentance means this. This is what repentance means. It means you turn around and you go the other way. That's what real repentance is, right? So I asked you if you hear from the Holy Spirit. Every day. You hear from God every day. And some of you may have said yes or no or I don't know to that question. God has 3 answers. I told you this yesterday. There's only 3 answers in the Bible. Yes, no, or wait. Right? And we want to make it more confusing, the Bible, than it is. We want to make His word more confusing than it is. Blow that confusion away from everybody this morning. Forgive me, because I speak to a lot of people. Did I tell you yesterday the story of the bank robbery?
No.
Okay. Years ago, I tell stories because Jesus told true stories, and they stick, and they make a point. Years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago, I walked into a bank, freestanding building in Connecticut. I banked there for many, many years. I know the tellers by name. It's a gorgeous day. I walk in, and saying hello to everybody, and the banks often, people savings banks, they change managers. You know, you rotate. I don't know what they do, but there's a new manager and a new assistant manager. And she's this tall, and she's from Brazil, and she comes over to greet me, and because she wants to know the customers, you know, and so we're chatting, and I don't want to be rude, but I've got to go teach, so I'm saying, I got to go. And I hear the Holy Spirit say this: you're in a traffic jam. Now, I teach people in coaching, if you're in a traffic jam, don't complain in life. Because God could be sparing you from an accident. Yeah. Any kind of traffic jam. I'm not just talking about a car. So I teach that all the time. I say that to people. So I hear that in my spirit. You're in a traffic jam. So I say to myself, okay, Lord, say to the Lord, either she has something for me or I have something for her. I'm going to just forget that. I'm going to engage the conversation. And I engage the conversation. And within, I don't know, a minute to, I don't even know, close to a period of time, two crazy men, masked, gunned, screaming, swearing, crazy. I'm the only customer in the bank. Come in and put up your hands. And they're robbing the bank. And I'm like, this is, no, it's not happening right now. And the truth is, I began to shake, if I'm honest. I mean, and I said, Lord, the only thing I know how to do right now is pray. And I that was just my first, and I dropped to the ground. Even my hands went up, but he must have thought I fainted. So I'm on the floor, and I am, my head's down, and I'm telling you, to put this down for a minute, it was as if God took his two fingers and put them in my ears. Now, if you do that this morning, everything's muffled. I could still, I couldn't focus. I was on what was happening. I just focused on God. Don't let him shoot anybody. Don't let the gun go off. Don't let anybody get hurt. Get them out of here. You know, I was just focused on the prayer. And they robbed the bank. He flew over the counter. There was no, you know, plexiglass there or whatever. And he flew and robbed, terrorized the tellers. The guys, and he comes flying back, I guess, money strewn on the floor. And they run out and they knock over a little old lady coming into the bank. And the bank goes on lockdown. And when a bank goes on lockdown, there's all kinds of, you have to just, they told me to get, they got me up and said, go sit in the chair, please don't say anything, just sit there. And I'm, you know, everybody's shaking. And well, people are, the tellers are crying and they're on lockdown. There's orders being given. And there's 35 police officers or more and detectives in the bank within seconds. And the little old lady says that she saw the car running as she was, she said, who leaves their car running with nobody in it in this day and age? She kind of had that thought. And that car was parked right next to my car. So if I had left the bank when I had been in a hurry and left, chances are I might have been in their trunk, possibly, right? Because I would have encountered them. So God kept me safer in the bank than out of the bank. So the voice of the Holy Spirit is the still small voice that we often dismiss. We dismiss it because we're distracted. We dismiss it because we're in a hurry. We dismiss it because, oh, that can't be God. Can't be saying, tell me to take a swim. We dismiss the voice of the Holy Spirit because it doesn't sound like something logical. But may I tell you that logic will not take you into safety. Logic, often it's important. Logic is important. But logic will always come against the Holy Spirit because it's not logical. It's not logical for him to say you're in a traffic jam. Now, I made it through that situation alive, thank you. And just to end the story, a year later, my phone rang. It was the detectives. I was going to hang up on them because I didn't really believe them. But he said, no, you're in bank robbery. Come to our office. And I had to go down to the FBI office because they caught the men. And they wanted a statement from everybody who was there individually. So they sat me down at this boardroom table. There's three detectives. And they said, can you tell us every single thing you could remember, every single thing you could remember about that morning? And I said, oh, I can do that. I said, but I have a question for you. And they said, what's the question? And I said, do you know who the Holy Spirit is? And of course, they looked at me like I had three heads. But but I said, because he's part of the story. And I told the story just like I told you. And I want to tell you something. One of those detectives wanted to take me out to lunch. I didn't go. So here's what I want to tell you. We need the relationship and cultivating the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Okay, we know that God says, what is the passage, Lord? He says, I'm looking, I'm not going to quote it exactly right, but somebody will help me. I'm looking for people who will worship me in spirit and in truth. Right? He's looking to and fro across the earth. Somebody who will have my truth and have my spirit. And we get weighty. One side won't learn from the other. There's these churches that are all Holy Spirit, and then these churches that are all Word. And there's this silent divorce between the two of them. And we need the Word. That's why I appreciate this church. We need the Word and the Spirit, right? That's why we do a prayer center. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Now, I want you to hear this. Everybody say, I'm listening. This is so important. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14. When I mentioned the nine gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit embody who the Holy Spirit is. He is those nine gifts, right? The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healings, the gifts of healings, actually, it says plural, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. What did I miss? I missed one. Anyway, many of us do not know those gifts. Many of us do, but if we don't understand something, then how are we going to walk it out in life? We have to learn. We have to have, there's practical, so much practical great teaching about those gifts. Okay? We have 10 minutes, so I'm just going to really quickly go through. A word of wisdom, and I only know him, I don't know better, so there's, can add to this, but in 10 minutes I'm just going to try to give you this quickly. A word of wisdom is futuristic in nature. All of the gifts work together like gears, because this is a gear shift on a car or on a bike or whatever it is. They work together, right? They work in tandem with one another. So prophecy works with the word of wisdom. And everything, miracles, healings, all of that. So word of wisdom is futuristic. Marvin Barnum, who said to me once at a leadership conference, I see you doing schools. And I'm like, what does that mean, Lord? And I got home from that conference, and a school called me up and said, they want me to do the coaching course at their school. So it was futuristic. He revealed it now, in now time, but it was futuristic in nature. All innovations, Facebook, even though they don't subscribe to the Lord gave them Instagram, futuristic, they had the idea and it came in the future, right? All innovations, entrepreneurs, we need that word of wisdom. Word of knowledge, what is a word of knowledge? It is revealing of something that only the address, the name of someone. A word. I pray when I go in those prayer tents, God, please give me the word of knowledge, because it makes unbelievers wake up.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's knowing something about someone that they have no knowledge of except by the Holy Spirit. Right? Miracles. Can I ask another question? You just answer it in your mind. When is the last time you saw a miracle?
2 years ago.
Can I tell you to look at the person next to you? Look at someone in this room and tell them you are a miracle. So you saw a miracle just now. You are a miracle. You are somebody's miracle. Yes. Yes, it's true. Gift of faith. faith in God is different than faith of God. The faith in God that we have is different than the faith of God. And the gift of faith is really the center core power of God that works within us. You could say to this mulberry tree, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and cast into the sea. I was sitting at the Jubilee Leadership Conference 2 years ago in Destin, and I came down early to be with the Lord, and it was a rainy, you know, it was going to be a stormy day, and I'm watching the ocean roll like crazy into the, I'm just watching, observing this ocean, like really waves, and I hear that in my spirit, and I think about that scripture, if you could have a faith as a mustard seed, you could save a mulberry tree, be uprooted and cast in the sea. Now, I'm just this type of person. What the heck is a mulberry tree, and why did you say mulberry tree? You could have said a pine tree, you could have said a palm tree. What is it, Lord? So I had to start digging. And you know, I couldn't find really too much in the commentaries. But I went into the botanical Google sites. Tell me about the mulberry tree. Do you know that the mulberry tree is known as the tree of delay? Because it blooms last. So if you have faith of a mustard seed, you could say to your delay, be uprooted and cast into the sea. Hello. Hello. I never did either till that moment, and I had an episode. And you know, I got home to, we've been contending for a long time for a certain piece of land because God said it, and it's been a delay. And there's been a lot of delay, and there's a mulberry tree on this piece of land. How could that be? It's true. Okay, where are we, Lord? So we know gifts. Okay, so gift of faith and miracles and gifts of healing, plural. When Heidi Baker came to our front lawn, we put up a tent, and here's what she said. Too big, too small. Yep. Too big, too small. Yep. Too big. She said, I can see my blind beggars where in Mozambique. She said, you can't see your blind beggars because they're all in our Armani suits and driving Mercedes. And here's the thing. She talked about praying for the sick and no one got healed. And praying for the sick, and no one got healed. And praying for the sick, and nobody got their sight until one day. And she talked about the process of doing that, not stopping, and not, because we're the screwdriver in God's hand, right? He knows. But one day, the first person got their sight back, and then the next person, and the next person, and the next person, right? And God can do it any way He wants to do it. And we can't have Him in a box that this is the only pattern. Because if you look at Scripture, He did it so many different ways. Yep. Right? Yep. And that's why He says the gifts of healings. Plural. Tongues. Do you know why the devil hates and he wants to divide the church about tongues? Because tongues is the language of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Right. Coming from a man or a woman.
Yep.
That's why the devil hates it, because he can't understand.
Right.
Can't understand tongues, because it's the language of the Holy Spirit. And that's why he's divided the church and made it all the big controversy, right? I'm looking for people who will worship me in spirit and in truth. Interpretation of tongues. Well, we know, clear as a bell, that if there's two or more gathered and somebody speaks in tongues, somebody's got an interpretation of that, right? And God wants to, as far as I know, He wants to reveal things. He's the revealer.
Yes, he is.
And when He wants to speak to a corporate body of people, sometimes he just wants to reveal his heart to them through that means. Okay. Lastly, we have 2 minutes. What gifts did I miss? Gift of faith, healing. What did we miss? Prophecy. 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 Prophecy, prophecy, prophecy. We prophesy in part. In part. I am standing on prophecies that I got 10 years ago that are just coming to pass. But again, that Burger King mentality says, oh, you know, it didn't happen. We have to war with our prophetic words, Scripture says. We have to war with it. We have to say, God, you said, write down what he said and highlight it in one marker and write down what we're supposed to do. Because God, I heard somebody say once, if they didn't buy the blank plane ticket, they'd never get to where God said they were going to go. So there's practical things that we have got to do to say to the Lord, I'm serious about this. And I know you're serious about it. And he likes serious. And we're living in a serious time right now. Prophecy in the realm of dreams. I wish we had time because I go through the whole thing on dreams, numbers, colors, all of that in Scripture. But I'm just telling you, the Lord knows. And discerning of spirits. That's the last one. Excuse me. We're not leaving without that.
Yeah.
God does not call the gift discernment. Oh, she has the gift of discernment. Is the gift of discernment? No, the gift is called discerning of spirits. And it means to know the motive and the action and the spirit behind the motive and the action and the words of somebody else. And it's so vitally important. And it needs a lot of study. And it needs a lot of understanding. But I'll tell you one thing about the gift of discerning of spirits. It's this. The passage of Scripture, somebody help me, that says that he divides and cuts between joint and marrow. Let me go to it. You got to get this passage. Hold on just 30 seconds. And let me get to that passage because I have it here. Oh, come on, Lord Jesus. Can I just please, Father, let me just put my discerning of spirits. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active and full of power. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and the spirit and of both joints and marrow. And then it says, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. That is discerning of spirits. Exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. And I just want to say to you all, I know we got to go, thank you for coming this morning. I love to see the lights go on in people. And I saw some lights go on this morning. I did. I saw some lights go on. Oh, that's, I get that now. Mm-hmm. So, Father, we just thank you that you'd seal every word that was from you. And you would release every word that was from Gina's flesh. Father, we pray that you would not let the enemy pick off any of this word this morning from any of your people. I thank you for dreams and visions. I thank you for the prophetic. I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to manifest themselves through my brothers and sisters here this morning, that we might show your magnificence, God, that we wouldn't quench you, that we wouldn't grieve you. Father, praise you this morning for what's going to happen in just this day. So much, God, you're writing a book over your people of remembrance this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Lastly, this little book is a devotional that I wrote, and I say it's a roulette book because you can just open any page and say, okay, this is the page, stay on it for till God really gets this through. And then you open the next one. I wrote that several years ago. And it's a girly. Somebody asked me, well, is she getting her hair washed? I said, no, the right hand of God is upon her head. So I want to change the cover because it looks girly. And it's really for guys, too. And, of course, this is Clean Love. It's out in the bookstore. And it's a lot of the coaching is in here and a lot of true life testimonies. for encouragement in the power of God. And so God bless you. And if you feel like it, it's in the bookstore. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Because I was going to
find
out.
I jumped right
off. Everybody, one more second. Hold on. Oh, come on, Gina. Okay. Hold me on. I made an app. And I just want to give it to you. If you have an Android phone and Google, who are they? The people that do Android, they just wrote me and said it's not looping correctly, which I got to figure out. So, but on an iPhone, it's all working right, and it's called Declare It. So I want to give everybody one of these. So iPhone, don't get it if you're an Android phone user yet. It's been out, but 2 weeks it'll be fixed, I'm sure.